Welcome to podcast number 3. This is the start of Care Oasis documentation from homehealth101.com. I'm Kathy Kwan, and I'm your host today. I hope that you will have downloaded the Oasis documentation. There's a link on podcast number 2, the overview, general overview, in the description on the website. So hopefully you can download that and print it, and then you'll have a better idea of what we're looking at in this kind of documentation here. The start of Care Oasis will be completed either by the RN or a physical or speech therapist. The occupational therapy is not a primary service and cannot do the start of Care Oasis. They can continue with the patient after the case has been opened and started by the nurse, the RN, or the therapist. And they can do the discharge, or they can do a recertification, but they cannot do the start of care. Nor can an LPN or an LVN do a Start of Care Oasis or any of the other Oasis documentation. It must be completed by the RN if it's a nursing plan of care for this patient. As long as nursing's the last visit out, if physical therapy or speech therapy continues on or occupational care therapy continues on after the nurse has discharged the patient, then they would do the discharge oasis. But we'll get into that at a later time. So I really want to start with the start of care and give you an understanding that this is the most important of the Oasis documentation because it's going to set the foundation for what's going on with your patient at the beginning of the care and hopefully show a trajectory of improvement as we go through the episode or episodes of care. Each episode is a 60-day episode. Calendar days starts today with your start of care and continues on through day 60. At that point, you will either need to recertify the patient or you will need to discharge the patient. If you're going to recertify, you're going to have to do that about a week before you begin, before the end of the episode, and you'll need to discuss that possibility with your management and discuss it with any of the other team members that are still seeing the patient. So the start of care gives you all of the information about what's really going on with this patient. Oasis always covers the functional, the clinical, and the social status of the patient, and we'll have slightly different numbers of questions depending on which Oasis document you're looking at. The start of care document is, if you look at the one from Medicare, is 27 pages long. So, yeah, home health, there's a lot of paperwork to do. And that's one of the things that your agency is going to expect of you, and they expect you to understand. If you're new to home health and want to get into the field, that's why they want you to know something about the Oasis, because it's not a simple thing. After you've been and had some experience with it, it will come easier to you, and you will be able to do it probably in your sleep. But in the beginning, it's going to be a learning curve, and you're going to need to spend some time on it. It's still going to be a time-consuming process because you need to actually physically observe the patient performing tasks in order to determine whether or not they can adequately perform them. And so it's a time-consuming process, but you need to do a head-to-toe assessment of the patient anyway at each visit, and you're going to need to do that head-to-toe assessment for this Start of Care Oasis with a little bit more detail, so that you can make sure that you've gotten all of the questions answered. If you have a good idea of what's going to be asked in this document prior to going in to see the patient, you'll have a much better chance at getting everything answered and not be sitting there filling out a form as you go along with your patient. You need to know that you're going to have to collect information about their prior status prior to coming on to home health, and then even what their goals and what their expectations are. So, and then you're going to need to observe some things. You're going to need to observe them doing their ADLs. Can they groom themselves? Can they get dressed? What kind of assistance do they need in order to get that sort of thing done? Or can they, are they independent with it? Then bathing. Can they get in and out of the bathtub safely on their own? That you can observe without having to give them a bath. Just ask them to get in and out of the tub. Toilet transferring. Are they in a wheelchair? Do they use a walker? Are they able to get to that toilet and get on and off the toilet independently or not? Can they manage their hygiene with the toileting? Can they wipe themselves? Or do they depend on someone to help them? Can they transfer from a wheelchair to a commode or the toilet or even into the bathtub by themselves, or do they need the assistance of anyone? And you're going to need to summarize their safety and the quality of the performance of their ADLs and what you determine them to be at the start of care and what your discharge goal is for that patient, and being realistic about what you think that they can do. You know, it's the same old story about, you know, the guy who says, you know, well, I didn't know how to play the piano. Do you think I'll know how to play the piano now? No. You know, if you couldn't walk before and haven't walked for 10 years, you're probably not going to be walking at the discharge from home health. So, you know, but you never know. So then you'll need to be documenting some things about, you know, their other ADLs. Are they able to feed themselves and eat by themselves? Can they prepare a meal? Can they plan that meal? And then their IADLs of self-care, such as being able to use a telephone. The documentation used to go into a whole lot more detail, and actually I want you to determine whether or not they could pay their bills and they could write a check and all that sort of thing. But a lot of those questions have been eliminated. So sometimes they do make a few cuts, but usually in home health, it's adding on information. So other things that you're going to look at is their fall risk. And then how are they able to manage their medications? Do they understand what their medications are for? Can they fill the med box? Do they need someone else to help them with that? And do they or their caregiver need some additional information about their medication? Never make an assumption about a patient that, oh, they've been on this medication for 30 years, so they know what it is and how to manage it. No, you'll be surprised. Make sure that you go through it thoroughly and have them explain to you what they think it is, why they're taking it, what's the effect of the medication, what's the side effects of this medication, and sometimes you'll be quite surprised. In looking at their medications, you're also going to need to make sure that you have all of the medications that they're taking. Do they take a laxative occasionally? Do they take some Tylenol or aspirin or ibuprofen for a headache or general aches and pains occasionally? Make sure you add those things in to your medication list that you'll be making in addition to this document, so that we know, we get the full picture of what's going on with this patient. We're not just focusing in on one little thing. Maybe they need wound care, but there's a whole, you know, you got to look at the whole patient. So that's what the OASIS document is kind of forcing you to do, is looking at the whole patient and what kinds of things do they need, and can you assist with, and can you educate them on, and other things that maybe, you know, you're not ever going to affect a change with or help them with, because that's out of the realm of possibilities here. So the other thing that you'll need to do is determine whether you're going to have therapy in there. If you're the nurse, do they need physical therapy? Do they need some occupational therapy? Sometimes they just need some home safety evaluation. Maybe they need some, perhaps they need some instruction in energy conservation techniques. If they've got COPD or CHF or something like that, that's really severely limiting their mobility and their ability to have a good quality of life. Sometimes an OT can help with some kinds of things like that. or they need, their family needs some instruction beyond what a home health aide could instruct them in how to safely bathe the patient, or even performing range of motion exercises, that kind of thing and stuff. So like, you can evaluate for your therapy need there. Now, when you finish with your documentation and you come back to the beginning there and determine what you think your primary diagnoses are going to be, those are the diagnoses that are going to drive your frequency. So if you're doing diabetic teaching, then diabetes and whatever the particular complications are will probably be your primary diagnosis, as opposed to if it's physical therapy, perhaps they're in there because this is aftercare for a total hip or total knee or an ORIF of a fractured hip, something like that. Speech therapy might be a primary diagnosis for someone who's had a stroke and has some swallowing and speech deficits. So those are the primary diagnoses that you're probably going to be looking at. It won't necessarily in any way, shape, or form come close to what their diagnosis was that they were in the hospital for. It might, and it might not. But you'll determine those things, and if you need to do the ICD-10 coding, you'll need to be working with your management in order to make sure that you're getting the coding done appropriately. Hopefully your agency has someone who will do that coding for you and take that off of your hands. So what happens with the OASIS documentation and the start of care is that you are going to, Medicare will numerically add up all of the points that you get for the answers on your questions. And again, you need to make sure that you're giving the most, the closest answer possible. Not everyone's going to fit into all these little answers here, but you can't add extraneous remarks and expect that to be coded and sent to Medicare. You have to come up with one of the answers given on the sheet, and it has to be the closest thing to that particular patient. Anyway, all of those will get added up, and your primary diagnosis will give you some extra points. And if you're having a certain amount of therapy visits, that will give you extra points. And what all those points come to is to determine it determines a code that equates to the numerical amount of money that you're going to be paid to take care of that patient for that particular episode of 60 days. So it's a lump sum. You get half of it at the start of care, and the other half comes in after you've discharged the patient. So you can see that the accuracy of your OASIS documentation directly affects the reimbursement that you get for that particular patient, and is vital to your agency for their own survival. So you need to be very accurate in what you're coming up with for answers on your questions, or as accurate as possible, and filling in each and every question. So you can understand that the OASIS is a very important document, and that's why when you go into interview to transition to home care, they want to know that you know something about the OASIS, because they don't have the time to stop and teach every single person about the OASIS. You need to have some understanding that it's a document that you need to do, and it's going to take you some time. You can plan on a start of care visit lasting probably at least a couple of hours, maybe more, depending on what care you need to do in addition to answering all of these questions. What you want to do is familiarize yourself with the OASIS before you go in, so that you're not sitting there asking 27 pages worth of questions to that patient. You're doing this while you're doing your assessment of the patient in a head-to-toe situation. You can determine what their skin status is and if they have any wounds. You can get them to walk and to transfer from different things, and you can observe how they would get in and out of the bathtub while they're walking into the bedroom for you to examine them. And you'll get a better understanding of their medications while you're going over a list of medications for them. So it's a matter of kind of combining all of this into your start of care visit, and making sure that you're not just sitting there going through, I have all these 27 pages of questions to ask you before we even get started, because that can take 2 hours, and then the patient's totally worn out and they're ready to kick you out of the house. So you need to familiarize yourself with this document before you ever even go out. You need to know what other documentation is required for your admission status for the patient, and have all of that come together. That being said, your agency's not going to throw you out there on the very first day and say, here, go do this. They'll probably have you do a ride-along for a little while, maybe a week or two, with another person of the same discipline, and make sure that you follow, understand how they're doing it, and know what and why they're asking certain questions and how they're determining things. And hopefully they'll teach you the right way and not show you shortcuts. But you need to know this for your own self, that, you know, you really do need to observe the patient performing these skills in order to determine what their abilities are, and never make assumptions. Again, don't make assumptions about their medications and their understanding, or their understanding of their primary diagnosis, or any diagnosis that they have. But ask them, show them, teach them, and hopefully you'll impart some improvement for them. Okay, so I think that kind of wraps up the Start of Care OASIS document. If you have more questions about it, we'll be moving on to the other OASIS documents, and perhaps you'll learn something more from them. You can always look up the information on the Medicare site at medicare.gov. And you can access my website, homehealth101.com. I hope to answer a lot of questions on there. I have a book out. It doesn't cover a lot of the OASIS, but it does cover the other things that help you to transition to home health care. It's called Exploring the Home Health Care Experience, A Guide to Transitioning Your Career Path. And it's available from Amazon.com. And you can find the link on homehealth101.com. I'm also going to be writing a book, or I'm in the process of writing an ebook about the OASIS, in which I can detail more information for you. And hopefully that'll be available by the end of the year, maybe by Christmas time, if not before. And that information you'll be able to find on homehealth101.com, and follow from there. So, thank you again for attending, and I hope that you'll continue on with the other podcasts and learn what you need to learn about the OASIS. Thank you.